In today's gospel, we hear one of the resurrection accounts in the gospels. And I think it's really important for us each year to reflect on the event of the resurrection, to think about it, what the resurrection is, what it means for us, why it's so essential to our faith. St. Paul said that if Christ was not raised, then our faith is in vain. And so if the resurrection isn't true, first of all, we don't need to be here. We're wasting our time. I'm wasting my life. So is Father Aaron, if the resurrection is not true. So it's important that we understand what the resurrection is and what we mean by the resurrection, so that we can believe it. I think the question for us is, do we take the resurrection seriously? After one of my Easter Sunday masses, I met somebody who took the resurrection very seriously. And he asked me this question as I was greeting people. He was just another person leaving church, and he just stopped and he said, "How do we know that the disciples weren't making it up? How do we know that the disciples weren't making it up?" And I was so happy that he asked me that question. And I was so impressed that he asked me that question, because that's a searching question. And it's important that we have an answer to that question. I wished that, you know, we could have gone out for coffee, so I had to just talk to him for a minute, and then he left, and I haven't seen him again yet. But what would you say if somebody asked you, how do we know that the disciples weren't just making it up? How do we know that it's not a made-up story? It's really important that we have an answer. In 1 Peter, we read, "Always be prepared to give a reason for your hope." And this is part of why apologetics is so important in the church. And what's apologetics? It means being able to answer for our beliefs, being able to answer our faith, giving reasons that we believe. We as Catholics don't just accept things blindly, but we believe that there's good reason to believe everything that we do. Our faith is reasonable. My parents really blessed me, actually, and my siblings when we were growing up, because my parents wanted to know why we believe what we believe, and so we would listen to apologetics tapes. And I didn't always love it as a kid, but it really affected me. So as we were snapping beans in the kitchen, we'd be listening to Scott Hahn talk about the Book of Revelation. Or we'd be driving somewhere on vacation and we'd be listening to Carl Keating explain what purgatory is and why we believe in it. And it was such a benefit to me, and probably helped to plant the seeds of my priestly vocation in my heart. But the gift that it was to me is it helped me to realize that there's a reason for everything that we believe. And I might not know the reason, but it's really important for me to believe to know that there's a reason. And that even if I don't know the reason precisely, I can find the reason if I ask the right person or look in the catechism or search for it. So again, so impressed with this guy. How do we know that the disciples didn't make it up? And so I've been thinking a lot about this. What I said to him was that, well, because the gospel accounts are so different from each other, and if the disciples were trying to make something up, they would have done it very differently than they did. And this is what I mean by that. If we read the resurrection accounts in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first thing that I notice is that even though there are obvious similarities, like the fact of the resurrection, the details are all different. in every account. So in each of the accounts, we have women who arrive early at the tomb on the first day of the week after Jesus has been buried. But what happens next is different in every gospel. Matthew's gospel is probably the most dramatic, even though they're all dramatic. When the women arrive at the tomb, there's an earthquake. An angel descends from heaven in front of them and in front of the guards. The angel rolls the stone of the tomb, the stone to the entrance to the tomb, sits on the stone, and then talks to them. They and the guards are obviously terrified, but then they tell the women to go back to the disciples to tell them that Jesus has been raised and to go to Galilee. In Mark's gospel, the women get there. The tomb's already open. They look inside the tomb. There's a young man in a white robe sitting inside the tomb. He tells them that the Lord has been raised. Go tell the disciples and tell them to go to Galilee. And then we have Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel tells us that the women arrive at the tomb, find it empty, and then suddenly two men appear wearing dazzling garments. And then in John's gospel, we have Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. She finds it empty. She runs back to the disciples. Peter and John come back to the tomb. They find it empty with her. They leave. She stays. She's crying outside the tomb. And then an angel appears to her. And then Jesus appears to her. She doesn't recognize that it's Jesus. She thinks it's the gardener. She asks Jesus where they put Jesus' body. And then finally he says her name and she recognizes him. But they're all different. And I tell you what, if the disciples were trying to make up a story and get everybody else to believe it, they did a pretty poor job. Because wouldn't they want to get their facts straight? But what does it tell us? Pope Benedict said that the differences in the resurrection accounts help lend to the veracity of the accounts, meaning they help us to know that they're true. Why? Because the resurrection, if true, is the single most startling event in the history of the universe, throwing away all of our categories of understanding. And we get glimpses of this as we read the Gospels, because Jesus comes back in his body, but it's a new experience of Jesus. Jesus is walking through walls. Jesus is appearing suddenly and then disappearing suddenly. Jesus is not recognized immediately by his apostles and friends, even though they knew him intimately. Yet all of a sudden he'll be breaking bread with them, and then they realize that it's him. Or he says their name, and then they realize that it's him. And so in the resurrection, we have Jesus bodily, and it's so important that we get that this is like probably the biggest thing that the gospel writers are emphasizing, that it's his body, it's his real body. In Luke's gospel today, we hear how Jesus asks for a piece of fish. And so they give him a piece of fish and he eats it in front of them. A ghost can't do that. Where would the fish go? Drop to the ground. Jesus eats it right in front of them. In today's gospel and in last week's gospel from John, Jesus invites the disciples not just to see his wounds, but to come and touch them, to put their hand in his very side. And then he disappears from sight. So Jesus is coming definitely in his body, in the physicality of his body. They can see him, they can hear him, they can touch him. But he's changed. His body now, his human body, is broken through outside of the laws of nature, so that Jesus now in the resurrection is no longer bound by the physical laws that we are bound by here on earth. and he's doing something new. It's a new creation. And so it makes sense that the apostles, as they experienced the resurrected Jesus and wrote about these experiences later, were not, that because the experience broke apart all of the categories with which they were even able to think about things, it actually makes a lot of sense that they would all tell something different about what happened. And that the disciples aren't making it up, because they really experienced something radically new, something radically other than they've ever experienced before or will ever experience again until heaven. And they're trying to make sense of it by telling what they can remember, and none of the details match up. And that's actually what makes it so believable. So the resurrection, do we take it seriously? This man who asked, how do we know that the disciples weren't making it up? He was taking it seriously. He knew that if it was true, this was the most important thing. And that if it was true, he needed to believe it. And that meant he needed to change his life. So he's asking the question, is it true? The resurrection, brothers and sisters, changes everything for us, because it means that our life is way more than what we see and hear and feel around us. That the destiny our destiny as Christians, we actually see in the risen Lord, that this is the destiny he has for us too. This is what we profess every Sunday in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. That even though temporarily when we die, our soul is going to be separated from the body at the last judgment, our body and soul will come together again. It's going to be us. But it's not going to be me in this dang old body that gives me so much problems here in this life. It's going to be a new existence, like Jesus's new existence in the resurrection. And that in the resurrection, Jesus transforms everything. He turns the world upside down. We don't have to fear the things that we've always feared. We don't have to fear sickness and death. We don't have to fear persecution by others, because Jesus is alive and he calls us to life with him. And that's our destiny, to live with him forever in this new life, this new creation that he's established through his resurrected body. And so, brothers and sisters, if we believe in the resurrection, everything changes for us. Just want to encourage us to get to know our faith better and to ask questions and to know that there are answers to the questions we have. We just maybe have to ask the right person or look in the right place. Are we ready to give a reason for our hope if someone were to ask us? And if we believe in the resurrection, do we take that seriously in our life? Do we see how that needs to take away our fear, take away our anxiety? How it needs to change the way that we live so that life in Christ is the most important reality? So let's ask the Lord today as we encounter him, the risen Jesus. It's not dead bread and wine at the altar, but it's Christ's living, resurrected body under the appearance of bread and wine that we encounter today. Let's ask him as we encounter him in this Mass, whether we receive Holy Communion or not. Let's ask him as we encounter him to give us faith in the resurrection, to help us to believe, and to help us to so believe that it would change our life and our hearts, so that we can be witnesses to others of the resurrection, and so that others may have a reason to believe.